Here comes. Should we, so the gal's here from the county, right? Should we move that up? Can we move it up into the work session?
She's first.
Oh, she told me she's here about an ordinance. She said she wasn't Ashley Young.
Oh, she said she was.
Okay, all right. I stand corrected. I said, are you here to talk about that? She goes, no, I'm here to talk about ordinances.
Well, this is an ordinance.
Well, I asked her about animal control and she said, no. All right.
Wow, that's not good.
Wendy, you ready? We'd like to welcome everyone to the work session for the North Salt Lake City Council. First item is the presentation on animal care service by Ashley Young.
Thank you so much for having me tonight, Mayor and Council. My name is Ashley Young. I am the Director of Animal Care of Davis County. I have been with Animal Care of Davis County for 3 years coming up. In that time, I've served in various roles. Previous to animal care, I worked for another municipal animal shelter in Oregon for quite some time, and then a 501c3 nonprofit large animal shelter prior to that. We're relatively new to Utah, so just a little bit about me there. But moving into our topics tonight, Animal Care of Davis County is updating some ordinances, and I did have those included in the packet for your review. But in general, we have been, since October of last year, going to all of our cities and working to update the ordinances because we found that many of them are incredibly dated. North Salt Lake, a lot of the original ordinances were written in 1989, and it looks like some were updated in like 2011 or 2012, and a lot has changed in animal care and control since that time. So some of the big ones that we have recently updated is the pet limit. We are looking for one universal pet limit through Davis County. That's something that we have found for our residents is incredibly confusing. They'll move from city to city, and that impacts how many animals that they are allowed to have, and then they're having to rehome their pets to fit in line with those city codes. So we are looking to do a 3-pet limit across the board, and every city has adopted that with the exception of West Point. I still have to go out and speak with their city council, but Layton has, Kaysville, all of our cities that were at 2 pets. So we're hoping that North Salt Lake is open to that universal pet limit as well. And then we are adding an additional pet limit, which allows a 4th animal if they qualify for that permit process, which requires the pets in the home to be spayed and neutered and microchipped, no notice of violations or criminal citations with animal-related issues, those sort of things. We're also working with the Board of Health to update our rabies code, which is something that we definitely need to do in North Salt Lake as well, because a lot of what's in the ordinance currently doesn't meet the state compendium for rabies in Utah. So that is another thing we're working to update there. And then also we're looking at our breeding permits and kennel permits and making sure that that language is updated. We had it in our Davis County code in several places, so just cleaning it up is a lot of what you're going to see. So that's the main thing we wanted to bring here today. We are working for every city to have that unified ordinance. And then there, I know recently there was a COG meeting regarding a new shelter, and if there's any questions there, or I could talk a little bit. My deputy director, Sydney Larrabee, was there speaking on the new shelter. And then possibly tax funding for animal care and control this year in 2023 is also changing. So just kind of a broad update, but I'm happy to answer questions that anyone might have.
I have a question. Yeah. Currently, our ordinance specifies animals based on the size of the property. And in the notes that I saw, I didn't see anything that referenced the size of the property aside from the kennel and needing to be 100 feet away from the side of the yard. Is there anything in the proposed policy changes that you've recommended that includes that kind of consideration of lot size?
So that would more fall into zoning, like if it was an agricultural space or something along those lines. But we are pushing to allow three pets regardless of the property size and more go on responsible pet ownership, because your neighbor can have three cats and be, you never know that they're there, right? But your neighbor can have one dog and it can be a nightmare and a nuisance, and we have to respond. So we don't see so much as its lot size as it is the responsible pet ownership piece.
And is there something that I could know about that supports the three as the right number, or four as the right number?
Yeah, so a lot of our jurisdictions previous to this change were at two. And so we wanted to move that up one more based on what our community was asking us for. Constantly, we have been getting calls and feedback that they would like another pet to that three. And so really that's what prompted this change, is something our community asked for, and that adding one additional pet was not a big leap for cities like Layton, who has had a two pet limit for ever, a very long time.
And then do we know in our city, have our residents been asking for that? Do we know, or do you collect information on those kind of calls that might be like North Salt Lake residents are calling and asking for this?
We don't, city specific, no. Layton City definitely has been a big push for that three. There was a petition a couple years ago that several thousand people signed. But no, we haven't heard, not that I know specifically from North Salt Lake residents. But again, people move within Davis County from city to city a lot, and we'd really like it to be universal. And it's a lot easier on our animal control officers as well when they're enforcing these laws.
Yeah, I think it's good policy making. Do you know, Ken, if there's any information about North Salt Lake residents that have been asking about pets?
So Craig may want to chime in too, because he gets some of his department gets maybe calls on complaints. The only calls I've ever had on animal control, both in my previous position in community development and as a city manager, is really complaints, neighbors complaining about animals and noise. And we've had a couple of significant violations go through the court system in the county, and have pets removed. That's been a while since we've done that, but we've had a couple of fairly significant cases. But we really haven't heard from our residents that they're having an issue with the number of animals or really even any questions. I think years ago we used to get questions about licensing, but we haven't licensed a pet forever. The county does that. And there, you might want to talk about what your licensing requirements might be, because I noticed in the code there's some new licensing requirements.
Updates there. Yeah. But so there are a couple options for licensing. For an altered and unmicrochipped dog, the fees are a little bit higher to incentivize people to get their pets microchipped and spayed and neutered. And we offer a one-year and a three-year license, which coincides with the rabies vaccine, which you have to have that proof of rabies before you can get that license.
So, Craig, I don't know if you have anything to add on your calls.
I don't. Just for the council's information, other than neglected animals and dogs or dogs at large, we don't get cats at large. I think we all understand a cat's at large, no matter what he is. So, and bites and things like that, those are really the only animal calls that come into our office that I'm aware of, at least during our office hours. We do get calls from time to time about roosters, but I don't think that's what you're talking about here at all, and anything like that. So it's mainly just neglected, loud dogs that we get called on. And we do refer those to animal control.
If I can just chime in a little bit to what the calls I get refer to our code, because we allow two pets, but when you want the third dog, you have to get a kennel license, which is always very confusing. And because the county was issuing the licenses for us, but they didn't really look at kennel the way that our ordinance was looking at it. So that's a change that we'll have to make. In the new county ordinance, it looks as kennels as a commercial operation, which is absolutely correct. And then the others should just have regular animal licenses. So that was the majority of the calls I get relate to that.
Ashley, can I ask another question then?
Sure.
So for the county policy, do they have anything in the policy currently that has to do with lot size, or they don't touch on that at all?
We really don't, other than it needs to be 100 feet from abutting dwellings.
That's the only component.
That's really the only component there.
Are you seeing that in other cities as well, or do most cities have a lot size component as part of their policy? You might not be able to answer that.
So we developed these ordinances with all the cities. We had several meetings with the city managers to develop what these should look like. And the 100 feet is something that the cities wanted in as kind of a safeguard. So we're not having kennels in like townhouses, right? Where they have literally no yard. But we really haven't had any other issues with lot size in general. I mean, if they want like a commercial breeding operation, then that, of course we would go back to zoning for that. But just to have pets in their home, we really aren't doing anything with some lot size.
Thank you.
Getting kind of back to Craig's comment about roosters. So you just don't touch chickens?
Oh, we touch them. We're never that happy about it, but we do it. They do fall under our nuisance code. So if there's excessive crowing, then we can enforce that. If the city has bans on roosters, so Layton City, you're not allowed to have a rooster.
We're not in our city.
Yeah. So at that point, we would go out and ticket and enforce and remove the rooster.
But I could have 20 chickens.
If your code allows it.
There's a point system.
There's
based
a point
on your
system.
Lot size.
Yeah. Okay.
So I guess my follow-up question, maybe this is on the definition of a pet. I was having a conversation a few weeks ago with a guy that his family owns housing, student housing, off campus at BYU. Mm-hmm. They're selling because emotional support animals are becoming such a problem. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I could say this is my pet boa constrictor, and
it's your emotional support
yeah.
boa constrictor.
Yeah. And so, do you guys have, it squeezes me every night.
Okay.
Are you covering exotic pets?
We do. So we have emotional support animals defined in our definitions in our county code, and I don't know it off the top of my head, but that is defined in there. And so with emotional support animals, there are accommodations that you have to make for housing, but it's not to the service animal level, like if you had a ADA accommodation for a service dog. And so there's certain things that we do have to allow and we don't have to allow based on if it's an emotional support animal or a service animal. We do deal with that a lot, and we definitely do work with exotics, livestock, the typical dog and cat, small animals. We have it all and work with it all.
Just seems like a real open door for abuse.
Oh, it definitely is.
Yeah.
It absolutely
so the
is.
Service animal does not include emotional support?
Correct. They're separate things.
Okay.
The service animal is trained to do a task.
And you waive the fee for the service animal?
We do, yeah. And that is something that is, I believe, in state code that we have to have exemptions for service animals.
So perhaps I can give a little background too. I think if it hasn't been clear, the county, of course, has been providing animal control services in North Salt Lake forever, I think.
Yeah, 85.
Not forever. We did have animal control a long time ago. What's happening now is that the county is going to enact a property tax to pay for animal control services, or at least some of it. We will reduce our property tax by an amount similar to what we collect, and that tax will go an amount similar to what we pay for our contract. We will stop paying for that contract, and the tax collected will replace that revenue for the county service. It's my understanding that the county animal services will still acknowledge our ordinances if we have a difference of opinion, if we wanted to have a different number of dogs, different number of animals, or a different idea about kennels or whatever it is, they will support and enforce or implement our ordinances on our behalf. I think, rightly so, the county has tried to put together a set of ordinances that would be acceptable to all 15 cities, so that they're enforcement officers, or I don't even think they're called that, are they? Are they just...
They're animal control officers.
They're animal control officers,
same thing.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
So that they don't have to carry 15 code books with them, and they can essentially do their job as seamlessly as possible between municipal boundaries. And I think that's a good goal. This whole service is transitioning to kind of a countywide service, which is good. And then you might want to speak for a minute about your new facilities, because that will be coming up as an issue.
So part of this moving to this tax levy, we're wanting to get our ordinances updated and kind of straightened out a little bit, because they are also decently old and not necessarily reflective of what's being practiced in our city. So that's really important that we're tightening that up. And then kind of our next step, so we're moving to the tax levy this year. That's in progress. And then we are working towards a new shelter. We just completed a year and a half long feasibility study for animal care with City Gate Associates. They specialize in animal shelters, animal welfare. And they looked at remodeling, they looked at building onto our facility. Our current facility was built in 85, and in 85, the model of animal care and control was catch and kill. So it came into the shelter as stray. If an owner didn't come, it was euthanized. That was the whole model of animal welfare at that time. And that's no longer what we practice. Animals are staying with us longer. We have programs in place. We have almost 900 volunteers. We have a foster care program. We have all these different outreach things that we're doing for our community, but we're still operating in the building that was built in 85. And so it's put a lot of constraints on our operations, and we're doing really well. We have a very high live release rate, where our community is very involved and invested in what we're doing and in these pets, but we're kind of topping out on the space we have available for our staff and for the animals. We've been incredibly full this year, and we serve almost 4,000 animals every year that come into us from Davis County. So we are working towards a new building, hopefully starting that process in 2024. The county commissioners are currently looking at a geo bond or possibly like a sales tax thing that's unclear at this time. They've been having a lot of work sessions on kind of how to fund the animal shelter and what that looks like. But that is a big goal that's been on the radar for a very long time for Davis County, because that building is so dated and really needs some help.
I know that land is hard to locate, but it seems like your property is very valuable to a developer.
Mm-hmm.
If you could find land down by the lake more and sell that property, it might be a very profitable exchange.
Yeah, that's something that I know the commissioners are in support of. The tricky part is finding land. The new building, it's approximately 32,000 square feet, and so we need about 2.5 acres that's zoned appropriately for us, and staying pretty central is the goal, because we serve, all the way down to South Weber and then all the way up here to North Salt Lake. My drive today from the shelter was a long one, so I totally understand that need for staying pretty central so that your citizens are still getting good service from us. If you know of anyone or anything, we want to know about it for sure. We're already in touch with UDOT looking for property options.
Okay.
I will tell the council, my family does fostering for the shelter, and we foster kittens. It's a really fun program. So kittens that come in as strays, they cannot be adopted out. Correct me if I share any incorrect information.
Yeah.
They cannot be adopted out until they're spayed, and they can't be spayed or neutered until they're at least 2 pounds. And so they're all kittens that are 2 pounds or less, and they'll stay. Usually that's about 8 weeks old. So anywhere from 2 to 5 weeks they'll stay, and it's really fun. The last one that we had, when she first came to us, did not eat at all, and we were syringe feeding her, and then graduated up to hard food, and she just went back to the shelter yesterday.
Thank you for fostering for us. It really makes a difference.
That explains why your kids are so happy. I mean, that's like, is there anything better than that?
But is it traumatic to let them go?
Yes. You should have seen them last night. There's a window of not happy after the cats go back. And it's something that we have to weigh. It's painful, but it's also lessons in life and loss and love and grief. And so we are really grateful we've been able to do it. It's a great program.
So, some on the council may remember this. The council took a tour of the current facility. That's been a while now, but that was kind of eye-opening, I thought, educational for all of us. So anyway.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Ashley, for
Thank you for your time tonight. I appreciate it.
So there's no action on this item. I wanted the city council to be kind of up to speed on what was happening countywide with animal control. We have some work to do on our local ordinances, and so we'll be deliberative about that, and make the staff will make some presentations to you.
Can I add to that?
Before we adopt some ordinance changes.
It will be helpful for me. I have some reservations about increasing the number of dogs, and uh-huh. but that 100-foot piece might soothe all of those reservations. So yeah. In those things, if there could be an awareness of, like, this is how big that lot would have to be, or particularly, you know, where I am in Foxborough, where the houses really are so close together, I think that 100 feet would probably preclude all those houses. But just yeah. if someone could confirm that for me, that would be very helpful.
I would think we'd need a really compelling argument to not go with the county's recommendations. I think I can't see having a separate set of rules and guidelines unless the county was just really off base on something.
The comments that I sent into you folks, and also simply to show us that if we're going to amend an ordinance and it's going to be countywide, and there are issues that come up that become apparent that are not the ones that are being amended, but other sections, we might as well do it all at once. That was my intention. My feeling on that is that it maybe wasn't so welcomed. And I'm not going to enlist our city attorney to contact the county attorney. So as far as I'm concerned, they've heard the comments.
Okay, thank you. All right, next item is our monthly financial report. Heidi?
Thank you, Mayor. So in the council packets, there should be a large financial report for March 31st, as well as a summary. I included in the memo some information on fund balances. I've been trying to rotate through different ways of looking at the city's financial position as I come up and try and find something of interest to report to you each month. So fund balances is the topic for tonight. So if you take a look at the chart that's in your packet, we started the year with fund balance of $67,192,000. At the end of March, that fund balance increased to $83,900,000. The reason for that increase is related to the debt that was taken out for Hatch Park. So that's funds that's sitting aside in a construction account waiting for the construction to start on Hatch Park. So the interesting thing to me when I ran this report and looked at the year-to-date, the third column, that $16,707,000, our use of or contribution to fund balance, the amount to that debt that we pulled out or that bond was $16,692,000. So we're without that activity, that once, you know, one-time activity, we are right about between all of the funds breaking even as far as year-to-date use of fund balance. And then I provided one last column just to look at the month-over-month comparison, $2.7 million. And the majority of that's related to the increase of coming into the RDA funds for the annual distribution of tax increment. And so
last column is a one-month change.
I'm just clarifying. The last column is a one-month change from end of February to end of March.
It is a one-month change, and we typically don't see that large of a swing, except that we've got a year's worth of revenue in a single month. So just another interesting way to look at the financial activity of the city. Were there any questions on any of the financial reports?
I guess the only one that I thought maybe I could meet with you separately and break down is the solid waste fund. I don't know the details in it, and just looking in general, it just seemed like a lot of money. So I'd like to maybe look at the details and see what the actual, how the expenses are broken down per garbage can and or per collection.
Sure.
Because it just had a lot of numbers in there, and I got looking, wow, that sure seems like you could hire a full-time person to do that, and maybe we have a full-time person to do that, but
That fund's interesting because it's mostly managed by contracted service providers.
Yeah.
And so we pass those costs on, though we do have some in-house staff time to replace garbage cans and things like that. Obviously take calls, and there's an overhead burden that goes into it. But that fund in itself runs pretty tightly. It doesn't, the revenue doesn't fluctuate from month to month that much because people don't usually turn in cans. And
yeah, the contract service I didn't have a problem with, but when I look at all the other expenses, I just think, it looked like a lot maybe being allocated to the fund that can we really justify it? But maybe we can, but I'd probably like to see that detail.
Yeah, I would love to coordinate
all right,
that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Any other questions? Thank you, Heidi.
Thank you.
Well, Ken, do we adjourn for a half hour?
I think we can probably do council reports. We can do
and
city manager
minutes.
Report.
Let's do that.
Action items.
Let's start with approval of the city council minutes for April 4th and April 15th.
I have one change on the April 4th minutes. On line 455, it said that I volunteered to help with the HOA, and I think I was just misheard on the tape. So that, I think it may have been Elisa Van Langenfeld, but I don't know.
It was Elisa.
Okay. It wasn't I.
Great.
Ken, you have the option of going into closed session as well
if you wanted to do that out of order. Well, we could certainly do that too.
Well, let's finish approval of the minutes. Any other changes? Do I have a motion?
I'll make a motion that we approve the minutes as amended.
Are you approving both?
Yes, all the minutes.
All the minutes? Okay.
I'll second the motion.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
It's a powerful motion.
That passed, thanks. Should we go into closed session?
Yeah, that might save us some time at the end of the meeting.
Okay.
Should we leave the room or should we have everybody leave the room?
We can do either way.
I think we could probably have folks step out for just a minute.
This shouldn't take too long.
I think the staff can all stay here, actually. We've discussed this as a staff. So.
Okay.
Ashley, we'll let you leave. Thank you.
I'll entertain a motion to go into closed session.
Unless you want to stay, the meeting's going to get real interesting.
Mayor, I'll make that motion.
I would like to second that motion.
You have to state.
Right. And I don't have the language in front of me. I move that we...
I'll give it to you.
Purchase, exchange, sale.
I move that the council go into a closed session to discuss the purchase, exchange, sale, or lease of real property.
I'll second.
Okay, let's do roll call. Lisa?
Aye.
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 Thank you. We're in closed session.
Wendy reminds me that at the beginning of the closed session, we need to state some things. So today's date is May 2nd. No.
I'm sorry.